Lord, thank you so much for this day and this morning together where we get to seek you and connect with you and also connect with each other. Lord, I just invite your Holy Spirit to be so present here today in this room, that you would just work in us and through us. I give you my words, my thoughts, my actions. Would you please just speak through me and help each woman here to receive exactly what you have for her today? I thank you so much for this group of ladies and the way that they have been so willing to try new things and the ways that we've grown together just in these first 4 weeks. We ask all it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, I had a plan. Good morning. I had a plan yesterday that we were going to do one thing, and then I got home last night, and I was getting things ready, and I thought, I don't know. I think we'll do something different. So, here we are. It's never boring, right? So, you know, we've done these first few disciplines, and I was thinking last night, now what has been really formative in my faith? And I can look back on three specific experiences that I'll tell you a little bit about later, where sort of experiential things, where there's no other explanation except that I saw God work. And if it was a bar stool, does this one have three legs? No, it has four. I need one more. But those experiences would probably be the legs, my experiential legs of faith. That, and I haven't been a Christian forever. I came to Christ in my 20s, and it's been kind of a slow process, so maybe for 15 years now. So I was thinking about that last night, and I thought, it would be a shame if we finished this summer out and I didn't give them a chance to really practice hearing from God and listening and even seeing each other do that. So we're going to do something. I'm so excited about what we're going to do today, but we have to set it up first. So I put this wonderful verse up. It's from Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. And Jeremiah says to the Lord, call to me. The Lord says to Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you. He makes a promise. And I will tell you great and mighty things which you do not know. So I realized that we have not talked a lot about our little book lately, Making All Things New. Somewhere I have mine. I guess I don't really need it. But, you know, I asked you to read ahead on up through part two this week, which was page 62. And so I took a few notes of sort of what did I think was really important about this second part of the book. And I want to just go through them together. If you haven't read it yet, you can still read it this week. We'll give it a week before we pick up the last part of the book. But his whole point in this section is to show us that Jesus himself was really busy too. He was fully human and he fully understood what we're going through when we say our life is busy. I mean, if you read the gospel accounts, we see that he was constantly, he grew up working, and then when he got called into ministry, he was spending his time traveling and teaching and ministering to people and healing. And he was a busy guy, but yet he was firmly rooted in the kingdom of his Father. So this part of the book, he called this whole section, what did he call it? It's something about his kingdom first. So Jesus came and sort of set the example of what it looks like to put his kingdom first. So regardless of what we do and how busy we are, he's telling us, look at Jesus' example. He was grounded in the Father. He did not do anything apart from that grounding. But if we watch, it didn't just happen for him. There are plenty of times where we read that Jesus, he left the group to go have time alone. or he left the group to pray, or he taught his disciples to pray. So he did intentional practices to stay rooted in the kingdom. The other big thing is that from the time of his, really his childhood, from what we have accounted for, through his final breath on the cross, his whole goal was to do the will of his Father. He was completely focused on doing the will of his Father. And I trust that, those of you who are in here, there's a reason that you signed up for a Bible study. And I've been reading, what do you hope to get out of this course? You've given me those little sheets. We want to be closer to him, and we want to hear from him. I think we have the same motive here in our lives. We really want to be focused on the will of our Father, but sometimes we don't know what that is, or we don't know how to hear it or hear from him. That's what we're going to dig into today. And so what he does is he invites us into the same way of life. He invites us to do the things he did, to live the way he did, and to be focused on doing the will of the Father. I love the quote that Nouwen had on page 52 about Jesus. He said, "He became like us so that we might become like him." So up here, if you're listening to the message, I drew an arrow pointing to the right, and at the far left end would be one extreme that he talked about in the first part of the book. That's the worry-filled life. He talked about this is where we can live full, feeling full, and yet very unfulfilled. So at one end of the spectrum, we have the worry-filled life. At the other end of the spectrum, which there really is no landing place in this life, but it's the spirit-filled life. This is the life where we're living rooted in his kingdom first. So I want it just to kind of warm us up. I want you to go ahead and draw that continuum in your notes or in your journal, whatever you're using today, and just take a moment, and this is just for you, but would you kind of draw a dot somewhere on that line about where you feel that you currently are in your life? And then I want you to think about this question: what is keeping me from being further to the right? What might be getting in the way of having a more spirit-filled life where you really do live out of the grounding of his kingdom first? So take a minute, and I'll give you a chance to do that. All right, so would anybody like to share sort of where you see yourself right now, and if you could identify anything that maybe keeps you from being further to the right? Melanie.
Okay, so if I had to put where I was on this continuum, I would say slightly to the right of the question mark. Like I feel like I know Jesus and I work really hard on a relationship with him, but I've had this super interesting thing happen when I've been pregnant. Like I felt super disconnected, and I think it's because, I think Nicole and I were talking about this, like I'm bringing something into a person, a human, not something, into his kingdom, and that's going to, you know, lead the enemy to want to attack me and want to make it harder for me to do that. And so I've really had to kind of work through that, but it's been a lot better second trimester, and we could blame that on hormones too. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to tell you guys this story. Well, let me back up. So if I had to put myself to the right of that question mark a little bit, keeping me is definitely not knowing how.
Okay.
Totally. Not always seeking him first, but like, oh, I've got the worry, the world, the job, the husband, all that stuff. And then I learned this really interesting protocol where you put down your question or your answer, and then you have somebody ask you four times why, and you just keep answering it, and then you get to this really, like, deep, profound, sometimes you cry, reason why that's even more deep than your first initial thought. So I encourage everybody to do that because that's a good one. And then I wanted to share this story. So this really cool thing happened this week when I was walking with two of my girlfriends that I've known since college, so about 10 years. And they, both of them, I've talked to them separately about God, but not really on this super deep level, but just kind of the surface level. And one of them is just this free spirit, and she's always trying to, like, find herself every day. Every time I talk to her, she's like, found this great book, this self-help book, and this new diet. And she just is always finding herself. And she said to me the other day, she goes, I listened to Joel Osteen the other day, and I got his book, and I've been reading, and I realize I'm trying to find myself, but I've never been finding Jesus. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. So, and then she's like, but I don't want to be too religious. I'm not, it's really, really religious. And so I've been like praying about that and thinking about that. And then another friend said at the same time, well, I'm jealous. I want to know who Jesus is. So I'm like, okay, here we go. This is my opportunity. So I really loved this Henry Nouwen chapter because he talked a lot about living for the world and how we do still have to live in this world. And that was their complaint. Like, I don't want to be one of those people that is such a hypocrite. My girlfriend said, I can't go to church. Like, people would look at me and know what a phony I am. And I was like, no, that's exactly who needs to come. Perfect people should not be a jerk. Just kidding, everybody should be. But that's just the story I wanted to tell, because I'd love for you guys to pray for them, because that was really cool thing that Jesus was doing. And then also, I just loved how it just tied into our reading. Mm-hmm. So sorry to take up so much time, but I really had to get it off my chest.
Thank you for sharing. We will certainly be praying for them. I agree with you. I like that he points out that, and you know, they said this on our video last week. A couple of the pastors said that we're not doing these things to pull away from the world. We're not trying to escape something. We're doing this so that we can be more firmly grounded for our life in the world. God needs us around here. He does his work through us. Amy.
Okay. So I would say, even though I grew up a Christian, you know, in the Christian home and known Christ for a long time, that I'm almost to the very end on the worry field at this stage in life. And I think a lot of it is because it's too vulnerable to go the other way and to give up that control, even though I have no control over anything. Mm-hmm. And I am constantly busy with worry. And I come from a family that worries a lot. And sometimes it manifests physically where they are just can't even go outside of the house without it. So I'm extra aware of that. But I think also just finding, like, not trusting and not getting alone and using the excuse of, I just don't have time. You know, I just don't have time to do anything right now, but with him. But even in our, you know, I take our walks, even just being more thoughtful during those times and capturing my thoughts. So I think it's good from this class that I'm heading in that direction, but I still am on this side. So
thank you. That's honest. And I know you're not the only one in this room who knows the Lord really well. And yet, we worry. Very, very universal.
So I would say I am also on the left side of the question mark. And I think a lot of it stems from, I have three small kids, and I have become a lot more worry-filled since I had my first. And I think a lot of it is I have a really hard time releasing them to God. I know he loves them more than I do. I know he wants to take care of them more than I can. But it's that control piece. It's the piece of saying, okay, they are ultimately yours, and I'm not going to stress and worry about every little thing that could happen to them. But I'm almost consumed by the fear of every little thing that could happen to my kids and how to protect them and how to control so it doesn't. Mm-hmm. I think I've crept further and further this way since having children.
You're not alone either. Has anybody else worried about their children? A lot. We don't even have teenagers yet. I mean, it started when Charlie, my oldest, was born, and I remember I had him sleeping, you know, next to the bed in the bassinet, and I was worried about SIDS, and I would lay there, and I would listen to him breathe, and I was exhausted, and finally one night, it, like, something in me broke that was like, I cannot, if I'm going to listen to him breathe every breath, every night, he's not even a teenager yet. But it's hard not to. It's hard not to worry. Okay. Well, thank you for sharing so honestly. That's part of, it's just become part of my favorite thing about what we do in here is hearing from each other, because then we realize, hey, I'm not abnormal. I'm not the only one. Okay, so discernment. So really, we're going to focus today on discernment. Discernment, some people would say it's a spiritual discipline. It's definitely a habit or a practice. But Adele Calhoun, I'll give you the handout at the end. It's written on here. You don't have to write it unless you want to. But she calls discernment, she defines it by basically recognizing the voice and the will of God. And so one of the things that I still want, you know, there are times, I'm going to pass this one out now. We're going to use this in just a minute. Don't we all want to know what God thinks about things? Maybe we have some of you probably today in this moment are trying to make a decision about something in your life. Or others of you, there's a situation where you just want to know God's will on it. And if you're not in that place today, you will be at some point soon. Something will come up where you get desperate to know, what does the Lord want me to do? What is he saying about this? What does he think about all of this? And so one of the first sort of Bible studies or classes that I took when I became a Christian, and really I think it's how I became a Christ follower, was the Alpha class. Did any of you go through the Alpha program, or are you familiar with it? Greenwood used to, you know, Alpha, Karen, Greenwood used to, Megan, they used to have it here. I took it over at Cherry Creek Prez, and this was, I think I was like 23 or 24. And so this was really the first sort of 10 or 12 weeks of teaching that I experienced. It's the class is taught through videos by a man from England. His name is Nicky Gumbel, and he's such a good teacher, and he makes everything so non-threatening and easy to understand. And so I was thinking last night, and I thought, you know, one of the best lessons I ever had on sort of learning to hear God's voice or understanding how God guides us is from an Alpha video from Nikki. So they've redone the videos in recent years, so they're more kind of modern and up to date. But I want to just let him teach this for the next 12 minutes instead of me, because he's so good. So what I did is I typed up basically the notes so that it'll make it a little bit easier for you as you're listening. So what you've got in front of you is just some of the bullet points that he's going to give in the teaching. But I'll let him take it from here. Oh, and there's two, let's see, there's, he uses, sometimes he uses English words, and I don't even know what he's talking about. So there are two things I caught. One is his wife's name is Pippa. And at one point he mentions Pippa, but he kind of says Pipper, like it's, you know how the A is sort of an ER? Okay, so that's his wife. And the other is, I think he mentions he used to be an attorney before he got called into ministry and went to seminary. So, and that's called a barrister. You may know what a barrister is. I didn't. I had to Google it last night. So he used to be a barrister, which means an attorney.
And what he says is, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. So how in practice do we hear that voice? How does God guide us? Well, God guides in many different ways. But what I've found is these five CSs have stood me in good stead as far as guidance is concerned. They're different ways in which God speaks to us and leads us. Sometimes it's just one of them. Sometimes with a big decision, it might be all five. The first one is commanding scripture. This is God's guidebook for your life. The psalmist says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. This is the way I found that, the main way in which I found over the last 40 years, God has spoken to me. And as we read this book, and I try to read it daily because I love to hear God's voice. He speaks about his love for us, his kindness, his mercy, his grace, how important you are to him. And it also tells us what his primary calling is on your life. And his primary concern is not about what you do, about who we marry, or whether we get married or not, or about our children. The primary calling on your life is into a relationship with him. That's what gives ultimate meaning and purpose to your life. A love relationship with him. And then a love relationship with other people. That's what we're called to. We're called to love our family, to love our friends, to love our neighbor. Many different ways in which we can do that. But as you read, you see all the different things that you can do. And then God's purpose is that you should become like Jesus, be transformed into his likeness. God wants us to become like Christ. He wants us to be people of integrity. And in this book, you see the kind of things we need to do to be a person of integrity. There's certain things you don't need to pray about in terms of guidance. You don't need to pray about whether you pay your taxes. Lord, this year, shall I pay my taxes or not? The answer is, yes, you are to pay your taxes. Here's the second CS. Compelling Spirit. To be a Christian is to be led by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to live in our hearts. And we begin to hear the voice of Jesus through his Spirit within us. And it takes a bit of time to get to recognize the Spirit of God speaking to us. It's a bit like, you know, sometimes people ring me up and they say, oh, hello, it's John here. And I get into a conversation and I don't actually know who John is. But it's too far into the conversation to ask the question, John who? So you sort of start asking questions like, how are things with everybody? Hoping they'll say, oh, Marjorie's fine, or give you some clue. Or, you know, how are you doing with that thing that you do? But when Pippa rings, one syllable, and I know her voice. And as you get to know Jesus better, you recognize his voice. Sometimes in my case, I'm afraid I don't follow it. There are times when I feel the prompting of the Spirit, but I ignore it. Sometimes we're talking about somebody behind their back, and I've got this great story to tell, and I know I shouldn't really tell it, but it's such a good story, and I can't resist it. But I feel the Spirit saying, don't speak badly about them behind their back, but I go on and tell it. And then I know that the Holy Spirit saying, don't do that kind of stuff. And as you pray, as you read the Bible, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Most of the ideas I've had to do with work in the last, whatever it is, 30, 40 years of doing this thing, have come as I've prayed, as I've read the Bible. These ideas come, good thoughts come. Ring that person, write that letter, visit that person. And then God guides by his Spirit by giving us a strong desire to do things. So Paul says in Philippians, he says, God works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. He gives you the desire to do things. So for example, before I was a Christian, the very last thing in the world I would want to do would be to be a clergyman in the Church of England. I mean, a clergyman. Of all the things, that very long list of things I would have wanted to do, clergyman wouldn't even have featured at the bottom. I just wouldn't even have thought of it. The most boring, tedious, I mean, dreary life that would mean. And then I encountered Jesus, and this is what I wanted to do more than anything in the world. And I absolutely love what I do. God has changed my will. And then sometimes he guides in more unusual ways. Visions, pictures, prophecies. I can think of a prophecy that was given to Pippa and I in 1989. And only now is it beginning to come true. But I always think about it when these things happen. Sometimes it gives just impressions. So we pray for people. We pray for people on the Alpha weekend. We pray for people in the services here. And sometimes as you're praying, something comes to mind. It's often just quite mundane. I just think of a few days ago, the Sunday before last, I was praying for a Swedish man who'd come forward. And I was praying, Lord, speak to me. Is this something? And then all I could see was two very bright headlights. And I just said, I sense that God is saying, this picture of two very bright headlights, and I feel God is saying something about shining in the darkness. And he immediately kind of looked, and I said, does that mean something to you? He said, yeah, he said, with our family car, both the headlights are broken. And I've been feeling I need to shine in my family. This is a very little thing, very mundane thing, but this is often the way the Spirit prompts us, leads us. And then the Council of the Saints. Saints not in the special way of very special people, but there's another sense in which saints is used. In the New Testament, saints just means ordinary Christians. So Council of the Saints, it's like the church. We'll have a whole session when we look at the church, but this is about getting advice. We're not alone in this. God has put you in a community. You experience that in the small group here. And there's the Holy Spirit doesn't just speak to me, he speaks to you. So the writer of Proverbs says, the wise person listens to advice. Make plans by seeking advice. I'm so grateful for the advice of friends, the advice of my parents, now my children. Ultimately, of course, we're responsible for our decisions. But it's such a blessing not to be on our own, be able to talk to people about the decisions that we're making. How do you know that the prompting of the Spirit or the advice from a friend is really God speaking to us, not the devil or the cheese you ate the night before? Well, there are various tests, and what we're encouraged in the New Testament is test the spirits to see whether they're from God. So one test is it in line with the Bible? If it's not, God's not going to contradict himself. Is it loving? God is love. You read of people saying, oh, I went off and killed this person because God told me to. No, God did not tell you to do that. God is love. It says about prophecy. When we have a picture for someone, a word for someone, is it encouraging, strengthening, comforting? Another test is, do you feel peace about the decision? Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Fourth CS is common sense. God's promises of guidance don't save us the problem of thinking. Paul wrote this to Timothy. He said, reflect on what I'm saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all this. He says, in other words, use your mind, and as you're thinking, God will guide you. And I find that's the main way in which God has guided me over the years. He presents reasons to the mind for acting in a particular way. I don't think it's very helpful often to say, God has told me to do this. You may sense that God has told you, but he's probably given you reasons. It's better to give the reasons, then people can argue with that. It gives an openness. There's stuff in here that will tell us the general will of God. So we know from the Bible that singleness is a high calling, that marriage is the norm. But this book won't tell you who you should marry. It's no good saying, Lord, who should I marry? Oh, Ezekiel. I don't know many Ezekiels. So it's common sense. You know, are you compatible with that person? All the usual tests. Work, job, career, that's your primary ministry, is your job in the workplace. God has given you gifts, talents. He's given you abilities, qualities, character, strength. He's given you experiences of life. And he doesn't want anything to be wasted. He wants your talents to be used so that you're not frustrated, but you're fulfilled in what you do. Fifth CS is circumstantial signs. God is sovereign. He rules and reigns in this universe. And he can work things out. Paul says this. We know. This is like it's from his experience. He says, I know this. We know that in all things, God works for the good, for those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. In everything in your life, God is working for the good. That's in all the bad stuff that's been done to you, God can use that for good. But also the bad stuff I've done, the mistakes I've made in the past, even the bad stuff I've done that was wrong, Paul says he can even use that for good. He can use everything. All the situations you get yourselves into, all the struggles, all the circumstances, God is at work in all of them for the good. He is guiding. And often you could only see that as you look back with hindsight. I think of my marriage proposal, which was about the worst marriage proposal that anyone could do. I had done all the tests. I'd written down the five CSs. I'd been through all that process, but I still wasn't sure whether it was right. And I know Pippa wasn't sure either. We were very young, and we were very kind of tentative about the whole thing. And I think my proposal must have been one of the worst, and certainly one of the most unromantic proposals that has ever taken place. We had supper, and I was the thought that she probably might not want to marry me, so I didn't want to be rejected. So I thought I need to be careful about how I asked the questions. So the first question I asked, I just said, "Would you ever like to get married?" And she said, "Yeah, I'd like to get married sometime." So I said, "Who would you most like to marry?" Quick as a flash, she replied, "Prince Charles." Well, it was 37 years ago, and I know that things have changed a lot, and there's no equivalent now, I guess Prince Andrew or something like that. So I said, "Well, would you marry me?" Thankfully, she said yes. And for the last 37 years, I thank God every day that she did. But at the time, I wasn't sure. She wasn't sure. But looking back, we can see God's hand. Sometimes he opens doors like that. Sometimes he closes doors. When I left theological college, we applied for 9 jobs and none of them worked out. We were rejected over and over again. I was the only person in my year who didn't have a job. Well, I moved back to London and I thought about going back to be a barrister. And then finally I got a phone call inviting me to come and work here, which I was so thankful for. But it was tough and very disappointing at the time. But now I can see that God closed those doors for a purpose. In everything, he was working for the good. Sometimes we can't see why he's doing it, and we just have to trust. And I'd encourage you, what this verse tells us is, don't look back with regret. Don't look around with worry. Look up and trust God that in everything in your life, he is working together for your good.
So I alluded to this this story a few weeks ago, and I want to spend a moment reading the chapter together. This is one of my favorite stories about sort of learning to hear God's voice, because it happens with a young boy. And if you haven't read the beginning of 1 Samuel after class sometime, I just encourage you to. This is such a great story. So I want to start in 1 Samuel chapter 3, but what has happened is Samuel's mother was named Hannah, and her husband had 2 wives, and she could not have a child. She was infertile. And so she prayed to the Lord that the Lord would give her a child, and she made a promise that if he did, she would give that child back to the Lord for service. So she becomes pregnant, she has Samuel, and Samuel was grew up to be sort of the last judge of Israel, and then that's when Israel turned into having a monarchy, and then they ended up getting a king instead. But Samuel was a very godly man, and so sure enough, when Samuel was old enough, it says after he was weaned, so I don't know exactly how old, he could have been around 4 or 5 years old. Maybe at that time they nursed a lot longer, although nowadays we kind of do too, right? It's kind of in vogue. So he was a little boy. She takes him back to the temple and gives him over to live there and to grow up to be in service to the priests. And so Eli is the high priest at the time. For those of you who did the Hebrew study last year, we remember the week when we talked about the great high priest and we looked at what he wore, and he was the only one who could go in to the most holy of holies on the Day of Atonement. Eli was that man at the time. So Samuel's growing up under Eli in his service. So there's this night. Let's just pick it up and start reading. So I'm in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." But Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am. You called me." Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle." And then God goes on to reveal his plans to Samuel. And sure enough, everything came to be. And I love that, because all he does, here's all he's doing. He decides to be obedient, and he decides to be courageous. That's all he does. Remember, it says he did not even know the Lord yet. So he wasn't like a longtime Christian. He hadn't had training, you know, years and years of theological training or something. He was just obedient and courageous. So what I want to do is try an exercise together that I have done several times in groups. And every time that I've done this, I have witnessed the Lord speak to someone, through someone, once to me, to someone. I'm going to pass these out. Will you just take a card as I'm talking? Once to someone who had something to share for me. We did not even know each other. So here's what's going to happen. I am going to pray for us, and we're just going to invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us. And there's nothing scary about this. You cannot mess this up. Nobody will even know if it didn't work very well for you. We'll make this safe and easy and comfortable. But here's what I want to do. When we pray, I want you to just be totally open to the first thing that comes to your mind as you sit quietly and listen. And what we're looking for here is sort of an impression in our mind. An impression. I have never heard God's voice audibly. I don't know if any of you have. I think it'd be really cool to at some point. I guess I'm honestly sort of afraid to, like, could I handle that? I've never heard God's voice audibly. The most I've ever received that could be from the Lord is sort of an impression. So I did not write this down or make a slide. I can include this in your email if you want these points. But I was listening to a little talk by a man named John Wimble, and he's sort of the person who founded the Vineyard Church movement. So a little bit more on the charismatic side, although I think he is... he's a wise man, and he has some great advice. And so here's what he said, what kind of might happen for people as he's talked to them about what was this like for you when you sort of got this impression from God. So sometimes we might see something as a picture. It's interesting. I'm such a visual person anyway, And I did this one time. Bob Krulish was leading a group of us through this kind of prayer. And I was praying with a woman who I really didn't know very well at all. And honestly, the first impression I got was a picture of her on a farm with a pitchfork in one hand and with a baby on her hip. And she lived here in Denver. Like, this made no sense to me. But Bob's instruction was, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how strange you think it is. I want you to just have the courage to say it. Or in this case, we're just going to write it on the card. Or, you know, explain or draw the picture, whatever works for you. So sometimes we might get a picture. It actually turns out, so here's what I want to encourage you on. It actually turns out that when it was time for us to share, we did it a little bit different than how we're going to do it today. We were actually supposed to sit with this person and tell them what the impression that we got was, and it was just sort of a test, just practicing. And so I said, look, this is the weirdest thing, but honestly, the first impression I got was you on a farm holding a pitchfork. And I thought she would start laughing. And she got tears in her eyes, and it turns out that it was a big deal because her husband had grown up on a farm, and they were thinking of, he had really wanted to move back to the farm. It was something that she did not want to do, and it was something they were in discussion about at that time. And so, I mean, I was like, okay, I'm glad I had the courage to say it. All I did was have courage. I didn't do anything else. Okay, the other way that you might see something is you could sort of see words or a word or almost like a banner. You're going to think I've done this thing all the time. No, I've only done this really three times in my life. The first time I ever did this exercise, and I was with a group of strangers at a conference. And I was a baby Christian. I mean, like, in diapers and a pacifier, baby Christian. I didn't know anything. I didn't even know the Bible. All I knew was I was excited about the Lord, and I went to this training conference. And when they had us do this type of prayer, all that I saw was Psalm 91. And I didn't even know what Psalm 91 said. I had no idea. But the instructor said, please just be courageous. Whatever you see or get impression, write it on the card. I wrote Psalm 91. And there was a woman I didn't even know who sort of claimed that and said, oh my gosh, I've been praying that psalm over my family for the last couple of months. We're going through a very difficult time, and that is like the prayer I've been praying every morning to the Lord, and that means so much to me. And she's got tears in her eyes, and I'm thinking, I don't even know what I'm doing. My whole point in doing this today is to encourage you that God can speak to us and through us, no matter who we are or how long we've known him or how much we know about him, okay? The other ways that people talk about sort of having an impression, sometimes it would just be a strong sense, just like something that you might just, I don't know how else to say it. You might just know it, a strong sense. Once in a while, people will say that they feel something, like they actually feel something in their body, or they notice sensitivity to a certain area. So I haven't had this experience, but I have been in groups where someone will talk about a pain in a certain area of their body that they felt, and then someone else will, you know, say, like, actually, I have a problem in that area. And then the whole point is to encourage each other to be able to pray for healing. So it could be something you actually feel in your body. But the bottom line is, we do this, I want to do it today as a faith builder, and just to encourage you that you can indeed hear from God, and that we can be an encouragement to each other. So I'll open us in prayer. And then I'll just give you a moment, and remember, just be courageous. You don't need to judge the impression that you get. I want you to just go ahead and put it on the card. And then what I'm going to do is I'll collect all the cards, and they'll be mixed up so nobody knows whose card was whose. And then I'm going to read through the things that are on the cards. And if something particularly hits your heart, then you'll have a chance to sort of say that, and I'll let you pair up with the person that had that impression, and we'll pray for each other, or we can share about it. I want this to be totally safe and comfortable, so we'll do it in whatever way feels safe and comfortable to every one of you. So let's just try this. Lord, we long to hear from you. We long to know that you know the details of our lives. You know the things that we're worried about. You know the things that we are trying to make decisions about, the places in our life that feel confusing to us or where we have uncertainty. And you don't want that for us. You make yourself available, Lord, and we just sometimes don't know how to seek you out to do that. And so today, I just, I ask for your Holy Spirit to be here with us in this room. We just invite you to speak to any of us, each of us, anything at all, Lord. Just help us to practice hearing your voice. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they know me. And Lord, we just want to learn what your voice sounds like so that we can know when it's you. So Lord, we just empty our own minds. We give our thoughts over to you. We give any sort of preconceived notions over to you. Please help us to just quiet our own minds. I also pray that you would just bind the enemy in this time, that he would have no place here, no participation in any of this, in Jesus' name. And so, Lord, will you speak? We are your servants, and we're listening. So help us to quiet ourselves and to just be open. And Lord, we just pray that you would speak here today. And ladies, just take a moment, relax, and enjoy the silence. Don't judge any impression that comes to mind. Just have the courage to just jot it down. Lord, help us to be brave. Give us the courage to just jot down anything that came to mind. And if nothing came to mind, that's okay too. But if you haven't yet, go ahead and use your card. And I'll just come around with this bowl. If you're ready, you can just drop your card in. I want to encourage you, even if you're not so sure, it's okay. Just jot it down anyway. There was one time, the third time, when I did this, and I was really hoping to just that there would be something from the Lord for me. And we went through the exercise, and I was going through a really difficult time, and nothing spoke to me. And I thought, well, that's okay. It doesn't always have to happen. And then I went to lunch. This was at a little conference. I went to lunch, and I was sitting at this table with these women I didn't know. And one of them said, you know, I saw something, but I didn't write it down. It was just weird, and I thought it was too weird, and it was probably my own imagination. And her friend said, well, what did you see? And I've told this story before. I'm sorry if you've heard it before. And she said, well, I saw a baby being born. It was like in a hospital room, and I saw a baby being born. And do you know that at that day, at that conference, I was 6 weeks pregnant. I had not yet gone for the ultrasound, and I'd had a miscarriage months before this. And I was so nervous about the pregnancy. And so here I am, a room full of tables. I happened to be sitting with them. And so I spoke up and I said, I'm eavesdropping, but I think that what you saw might have been an encouragement for me because I'm pregnant. And I told them this story. And they were so sweet. And they said, oh, honey, we've got to pray for you. This is amazing. I can't believe, you know. And so then her friend said, well, do you know if it was a boy or a girl? And she said, I think it was a boy, but I don't know for sure. And I held on to that. And about 7 months later, my son Charlie was born. And I emailed her that night from the hospital room, you know, when it's quiet and finally everybody's gone and your baby's in their plastic bin bed. And I said, I sent her a picture and I said, I want you to know that the baby boy was born. And I held on to that thing my whole pregnancy. And thank you for being willing to have the courage to say what you sensed from God. So that's my little encouragement. Nothing is too weird. Nothing can, you can, it can't be wrong if it's, you know.
About 3 years ago, I was taking a class on prophecy and we were doing this exercise. Uh-huh. And one of the people, you know, came up to me and said, I'm supposed to, I think this is for you. I mean, he didn't know me. And he came up to me and he put his hand right here. And he said, I'm supposed to let you know that there's a dove right here and everything is going to be fine. Mm. And I hadn't told anybody yet, but I had thyroid cancer. And it gave me such peace knowing that everything was going to be fine. And it was.
Wow. And to think that God, yeah. God knew.
A dove.
Yes. And it was just for you. Okay. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to read the cards in the bowl. Now, this part takes a little courage, too. I promise we're not going to do anything weird. I'm not going to do anything to embarrass anybody. I'm debating, how shall we do this? If something is sort of feels like an arrow shot to your heart, I want you to own that. Would you raise your hand? Should we do it that way? Because I don't want it to feel like a menu that I read through and then you're supposed to pick something that's for you. This is not how this is supposed to work. There's going to be cards that it's not going to mean anything to anybody, and that's absolutely fine. And there's going to be people that, like, nothing speaks to you, and that's absolutely fine too. We're going to be encouraged just by doing this together, I promise. Lord, please. It takes courage on my part to do this, right? I'm like, you better show up if I'm going to have them do this. Lord, you got to show up or I'm going to look like a fool and they're all going to be frustrated. All right, here we go. If you feel like it's for you, you just raise your hand and then we'll do the next part afterwards. All right, this one says Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This card has one word, it says loneliness. This one says, love each other deeply. And then it also has the word owls. Did you just raise your hand or was that an itch? That was okay. Let me know if I miss you. This one. I hear many happy voices sitting together in circles, maybe for a wedding this weekend or maybe for this group. The cottage in Pacific Grove. Judy.
In the next 2 years, I'm making a move. And, you know, at my age, it's going to be a big move. And so I'm trying very hard to keep my hands open to wherever God is leading me. I don't want to make up my mind and say, in 2 years, I'll be in Pacific Grove. But I met the Lord there this summer when I was out there. Mm. And that's all, the living room came to mind there. And I love that place.
Mm.
But it also is where I had an encounter with God this summer. So maybe that was it.
Mm. So did you write that down?
I did.
You wrote that down. Yeah. Thank you. That's the first thing he brought to you.
The only thing.
Interesting. And it sounds like, is it a place that brings you peace? Peaceful feeling if you test it against all the CS's and yeah. Thank you. Okay, this one has a picture of a bolt of lightning. There's one word here that says mindfulness. This one says a meandering white fence. Psalm 23:3. He guides me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. This one says, I got a twitch in my right eyebrow. Look how brave you are. You wrote your things down. Good job. Good job. It's all you have to do. You can't get this wrong. Okay, this one says Psalm 39:1. There's a picture of a flashlight. I said, I will watch my ways and keep my tongue from sin. I will put a muzzle on my mouth while in the presence of the wicked. Psalm 39, verse 1. Okay, this says, offer to mentor the 1 to 2 young moms who are to the left of the arrow. And this one says, oh my gosh, wow. This says, suggest Jill to become the next women's pastor. I did not write that. That would be an awesome way for me to try to get a promotion, wouldn't it? Whoever wrote that, though, that is, oh my gosh, that's meaningful. I can't think of a higher compliment. Thank you. What about these 1 or 2 young moms to the left of the arrow? Does that mean anything to anybody in here? Offer to mentor? Has any of you had an inkling that you're supposed to offer to mentor somebody? This one has a picture of a red canoe. I can't see the back, just the front, but it's not sinking. A woman laughing and kicking her head back. She has white hair. Really? You really want a red canoe? My identity. Really? Okay, who wrote this down? Shelley. Very good. Way to go. Now you get to seek the Lord on what does that mean. But that's pretty specific. Sometimes these are things just for our delight, right? I mean, he wants to delight us. I'm not kidding. Maybe God wants you to treat yourself to a red canoe. I don't know. I think that's amazing. That's very specific. And your hair, you're so sweet. So you color your hair, but you're telling us you are the woman with... All right, this one says, my daughter, you are on the right path for healing. This one just says peace. This one says go to the cold. Go to the cold. Cold, cold, like C-O-L-D. Mm-hmm. Judy, I won't suggest that this is for your 2-year for your 2-year plan of where you're going to go. Could be. Ooh, this one says multiple pink feathers. This one says I love to read, and the whole time these books kept popping into my head. And then she says, sounds totally stupid. Oh, no, it does not. Oh, no, it does not. You did what you were supposed to do. You wrote it down. Okay, this one has a disclaimer, maybe. I love it. All right, here we go. It's a picture or a scene. There's a little girl at a birthday party. Maybe hers. She's apart from the others, pushing herself on her tummy on a swing. There's an unopened pinata nearby, and her father comes up and strokes her hair out of her eyes. I can't tell if she's content or if she's wishing that she could join. Okay. Shelby, Do you feel comfortable sharing, or you want to just hold it? Is it okay if I...
Thanks. So something about, I don't even know that I have words, but it made me cry. Mm. Something about the father stroking her hair. Mm-hmm. And I was just with my parents. And I am just really grieving because my dad is, something's going on with his memory. Would you know about that? So something about, like, I think I've just, since I've been home over the last, like, 36 hours, just feeling kind of like a little girl grieving, you know, just that my dad is not well. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that the pinata or the being alone spoke to me, but the dad and pulling the hair back was just, spoke to me.
Right to your heart. Thank you. Yeah. Who wrote it? Jess, well done. Thank you. That takes courage on both of your parts. I'm going to give this to you. All right, this one says, it's another little girl. This one is a little girl with dark skin and dark curly hair with pigtails and a pink dress with ruffles holding a Raggedy Ann doll. Okay, this one says the atmosphere in my head seemed to be going around in circles. This one says, overcome your fear and trust me. You will love what comes, what rewards I bring you. And here this says an aspen tree, breeze passing by, causing the leaves to shimmer and sparkle and clap. A clap of affirmation, a yes. A quiet and pleasant sound, a calm and peaceful affirmation. Okay. Now, surely some of you did what I did, which is, oh, that kind of speaks to me, but I'm not sure I'm going to raise my hand and be confident about it. Yes, Kara, you read it.
Okay, an aspen tree, breeze passing by, causing the leaves to shimmer and sparkle and clap. A clap of affirmation, a yep. Quiet and pleasant sound, calm and peaceful affirmation.
Last weekend we were at my mother-in-law's cabin, which is out of Silver Plume.
Near Georgetown. Up. And I don't know, I had a moment in the weekend where I just was able to just look at the beauty of an aspen tree and really notice the sunlight glimmering on it and, you know, the leaves fluttering and just how beautiful that is. And I have a friend in my breast cancer support group who is an artist, and she painted a picture of aspens, and she let me buy the picture, paying her, you know, like in installments. Mm-hmm. And I have that in my living room, but I mean, I really love it.
It's significant to you. Yeah. Very specific, the aspen tree. Who wrote the aspen tree? Ashley, well done. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else who thought, that could be for me, but I'm a little hesitant?
But the pink flowers, because my mom lives in assisted living, and her dear next door neighbor Marie died, and her grandchildren had made her this planter with this row of pink flowers that she had kept on her outside her door. So her funeral was this week, and it just made me think of her. And I was really hoping that was mine, but you set it aside. So I knew it was the first one that God wanted me to own, which is, daughter, you're on the path to healing. But I've been trying to help my brother with affairs that we have. I'm involved a lot in helping elderly people. And I've not been helping him in a way that's, I think, really been productive. And I've really hurt his feelings. And I've, through my studies this week, God really opened my eyes to that and has been, I think, telling me things I need to do to reconcile that situation. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that one was mine, but I wanted one that wasn't so hard. Mm-hmm. But that one's mine.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.